Thank you all for coming. We will go ahead and call the meeting to order. And if you'll put the agenda up here so that we have one today. Okay, sorry about that, Katie. Roll call, please.
Ms. Jamison?
I'm here.
Ms. Cruz?
I'm here.
Mr. Kelly? Mr. Inman? Ms. Power?
Here.
Mr. Champion?
Here.
Mr. London?
Here.
All righty. I'd love to say approval of the minutes.
We are, there's a little bit of a...
backlog, I know.
No, technological knowledge gap now. And we are trying to figure out how to add new members into the software. So we have them done, but we don't know how to put Tim and London in. We're missing someone who knew the software very well.
I broke the system?
Yeah, so we're trying to figure it out.
I understand. Okay.
Not for nothing, but why don't you go back as city clerk? Why don't you reach out to Robin?
No. Yeah. Bonnie.
Okay. I mean, I'm serious. Isn't that worth a phone call? I think so.
It's just, I'll have to find that phone number.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember there's only two people in my department.
I can help with that.
Okay. All righty, so we don't have any minutes at this time, although we look forward to having them in the future because it's very helpful when we prepare for the next meeting. Mm-hmm. To remember, I know we discussed it, but did we take any action?
Did we vote on that?
And I'm counting on Mr. London to help us with that. He seems to have read everything and have quite a good memory. We have some people from the public with us today. Would anybody like to say anything? I see Mr. Lou Paris with the Volusia County Economic Development Department. Thank you for coming down here so early. Ms. Judy, did you want to say anything today? No? Okay. Well, welcome. You're welcome. It's very exciting. All right. Well, moving on to new business. Ryan, you wanted to make a presentation and discussion of...
Yeah. Thank you. Good morning. So we have two new members, Joshua Champion and Tim London, to the board. So I thought it would be a good time to recap the Economic Development Board's bylaws. So one of the things that Tim London had pointed out was that the Economic Development Board in the membership section, Article 3, shall have 9 voting members. The board has always, from my knowledge, seemed to have 7. One of the advantages to having 9 members is that within Article 3, number 2 there, is that the quorum for the board is 5 members. So 5 out of 7 have to be present in order to have a meeting, 5 out of 9. So there are some advantages to doing that.
We don't have enough chairs.
Yeah, I mean, so logistically, I mean, we'd add 2 chairs and 4 people would have to share 2 microphones, but...
Unacceptable.
I would share with you.
We can make it work.
So I do have, there are 2 applicants right now who have applied to serve on the board. The real question is there's really no cutoff timeline. Do I hold it open? Do I bring it back? And do we want to, last time we spoke about whether or not we wanted to amend the bylaws, that was what we had talked about last time, so I just wanted to bring it back.
I couldn't remember if we made a motion or...
We didn't do any action.
We did not. We were also supposed to look into how to amend bylaws.
Which I did find. Okay. So that it's a motion by the board, and then the council just approves it. So it's a pretty straightforward process.
So two questions. Can it be... can it say up to 9 members versus a finite number? That's the first question. And what do we have for Volusia County Economic Development? What are your membership? How many members on the Economic Development for Volusia County?
They don't have a board. Only the cities have the boards.
Oh.
No, only the cities have the boards. Over up in...
it should be 16, one from the city.
New Smyrna Beach... they had 5.
That's okay. Probably not enough.
And then the city of Oak Hill, back when they had one, I believe they had 7. Right now they have none.
Mike's not.
Well, Mike's still there. But the board.
Gotcha.
You know, and they had one, but then COVID. With COVID, everything just shut down, and so they just never resurrected it. Now that the Oak Hill has their new city manager, John Barkley, they have been discussing bringing it back, and we're hoping they will bring it back.
So can it be up to a certain number, or does it have to be a finite number for the articles?
You know? I would, yeah, it would need to be finite.
Okay.
So. I would think so, because this is the bylaws for the document, and then how would you establish for you would...
The quorum would still be 5.
Yeah, I would.
That okay. I wouldn't change.
But that you wouldn't have to have a total of 9
right.
members.
If there's times when people, because we get low, people, you know, rotate off and it takes
right.
us a while to hire somebody. It just, I don't know. Up to 9, I'd be okay with 9. It just, I don't know if we should have to do that. There isn't that many people these days that are willing to serve.
Yeah.
It gets to be a challenge sometimes. Maybe, are we allowed to discuss the applicants that you have right now?
I don't have them.
Okay.
Hold on. So
no. That's something you could send to us so
yeah,
that we can
yeah,
review it? Maybe for the next one we take a look at.
I can put it on. The thing is, typically I would put the applicants on the agenda beforehand
right.
and that week ahead if I knew would review them. Just
yep.
because you also need to discuss it, since this is a board, you need to discuss it at a public hearing.
Right.
Yes.
Lou Paris, Economic Development. One point of reference that I was trying to think and make a connection was Team Volusia. If it helps, they have in their executive committee, they have 14 people. If that serves as a point of reference. There's many more people on the board. I think to the tune of maybe 40 people, you know, business that invest in it. But the executive board has 14. And it seems to be a number, Bliss, you go to those meetings, so it seems to be a number that works, you know, somewhere around that those parameters. So.
Thank you, Luke.
Do we have a motion one way or the other? To keep it at 9 as the bylaws are written, or to change it to 7? Is there?
I move to amend. That we shall have 7 voting members.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I would second that.
Okay, so we have a second. Do we have any discussion?
A question. No.
Okay.
If we know a term is up for a member, can you get one appointed prior to that term so there's no vacancy? And as soon as that term's over, the next person sits? It's not how it has been happening, the vacancy, but can that be done?
Yeah, I mean, that's just being proactive. And.
But with that, we would have to open it up. I mean, we can't just pick one person out of the public and say, okay, it'll be you.
You have to post
it. We have to post it. We
yes,
have to
I
it
understand
up.
That.
Okay.
That would...
Yeah, what? Like when we know vacancies are coming. We know people are expiring.
Based on that, I would support the bonus.
Okay, Joshua?
As it relates to the ratio of voting members 9 to 5 as a quorum, should we also adjust the quorum?
Well, see, this is what my whole thing is. If we were going to have 9, did the quorum go up, you know, for voting or for the quorum versus 7? So,
I think 5 was just the majority of 5 of 9. Mm-hmm. So right, then, yeah. I'm willing to offer a friendly amendment to my motion.
Okay.
So I move that the board shall have 7 voting members and a quorum of 4.
I would say that. Okay, so we have an amended motion with a second. Any other discussion?
Is there any concerns about an even number? I know everything always seems to be odd, but a quorum being an even number, is there any thoughts or process associated with that?
I appreciate that.
It'd be hard to vote.
Yeah, I think we need a tiebreaker.
That is a very good point.
So I just have always seen it.
The
numbers, yeah.
Discussion is good. Okay. So we go back to the first
motion. Original motion, yep.
The original motion.
So scratch the amended motion. Go back to the first motion.
With 7 and 5.
7 and 5.
I can't wait to read the meeting minutes. Okay.
You know, they'll be simplified.
I know.
Good point, though.
Not to have. I don't want to get in. I was going to say we could have, you know, if it's a tie, it could go out for a email vote for the rest of the members.
Please.
But
no.
That starts
no.
to get really
and think
heavy
about it. How
administrative.
Often do we vote on things? I mean, we have a lot of discussion. We have a lot of report outs. But we don't vote that often, you know.
It needs to be succinct and concise.
I agree. That's why I kind of was backing away from the point. We have administrative much. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Shall we take a vote?
Let's do.
7-5 as a reminder.
7-5.
7-5. Is that a no?
Yes.
Mr. Inman?
Okay. Yes.
Mr. London?
Yes.
Ms. Jamison?
Yes.
Ms. Cruz?
Yes.
Mr. Champion?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Okay, and our next presentation is about the Economic Development Department budget and the Community Redevelopment Agency budget.
Ryan, before you start, you talked about the other two applicants, so we will just let those pass, correct?
Yeah, I'll let them know, and I'll look at their files. If they had applied to any other boards, and okay. We just let them know
that we're at a quorum for the time being.
Okay. And if Katie gets the information on the expiration of terms,
yep.
We may have people coming up and terming out soon. So
yeah, we'll get a list.
Just let them know that we'll keep it warm.
Thank you. I just wanted to close that loop so that they don't sit out there hanging.
Absolutely. Okay, the budget. So on your screen here, I've included the CRA. This is revenue through the years. And you can see here in 26, we had $641,870 in revenue. City staff had allocated $100,000 to the small-scale facade grant. Another $100,000 to the large scale, and then another $233,000 towards land acquisition, and then the remaining funds, the $208,000, that is the county's portion, was allocated towards the streetscape on Park Avenue. Remember, the county's funds has to be used for hard infrastructure, so we're allocating it towards some of those hard infrastructure costs with doing the main street for Park Avenue.
What does the hard cost actually encompass?
So it'll encompass undergrounding the utilities, mm-hmm, on both Park and then Riverside.
So we're getting rid of the big poles?
Yeah. Hopefully, that would be the idea.
Yay.
And then, obviously, if we want to do angled diagonal parking and we want to have a main street with larger sidewalks where you can have outdoor dining and that sort of stuff, then the right-of-way needs to get expanded. It just has to get larger in that area along Park Avenue there. And then just stormwater infrastructure for the street, for the main street itself, all those are improvements that can be used with county money because it's public infrastructure that's being invested in.
So that's a large portion of the budget. Do we have, I mean, I heard Park Avenue, do we have things in the works?
The
utilities and how much that costs and what the plan would be, who votes on what direction that money goes to?
Yeah, so the council votes on where the money goes, as acting as the CRA. We right now the direction from the council is to continue with the land acquisition and then to keep massaging the vision. And that's what staff are doing. So we haven't really gone to the next step of haven't gone out and done an RFP to do the main street. Partly because it's going to cost a lot of money, too. And so that design work, no, none of that has been done yet.
Okay. That money just sits.
Yeah, it's just being allocated in the CRA right now. And there is, you know, obviously the county doesn't like to see that the money just sits there, but to do a full main street it takes a lot of money. So, you know, a main street is probably going to be $2-3 million investment into just the infrastructure. And so putting money away now makes sense while the city's using their funds to purchase the land and get everything ready to then have the county kind of come in on the back end to facilitate this vision.
I just know engineering takes a bit of time and people to do design if there's underground utilities that, you know, there could be some bidding out for those types of things. Might get us a jump start as we vision. But if the county's okay with keeping the money there and we're okay with it?
I've had, you know, I tried to impress upon the council the importance that the CRA really only has a decade left, so we need to move. But I don't want to spend county or city taxpayer dollars until I know that the vision's set, right? So I don't want to go and spend all that money on engineering until I know that that is what.
I guess I was only talking about the underground utilities, that portion of the engineering. I think there's a 90%+ chance that it's going to be underground. That's what everybody's vision is, right? Not that big, ugly poles or concrete. So that portion, I know the electrical and DOT, I don't know if they're involved in that, but it's a long process.
The other thing, so doing the study for it itself, you know, would it have to be city funds? So part of it too is understanding and allocating money. The direction is to use the city funds right now to get as much property. So.
I'm okay. It's a lot of money that sits and sits for a while. So
my question is it in an interest-bearing account?
Yeah, it looks like it's $60,000 last year. It looks like you get money each year and you don't spend it, so it's getting larger and larger, except there were some expenditures in 25. What was that for?
So in 25, we spent money for the CRA, for the facade grants for the city. So we had about $90,000 go out between the two funds in reimbursements. And then city staff put another $100,000 into each fund for next year. So there'll be a little bit of carry forward in each of those funds. I think the small scale will carry forward with about 60-something thousand, and then large scale will carry forward with 11.
And then I know we're negotiating to pick up the property over here. That would come out of these funds, correct or not?
Correct, yeah.
The city portion.
And is that in 25 or 26?
No, so that's in 25.
What's the update?
So those funds are already out of these dollars?
Yes. This is just the budget for 26.
Okay.
I didn't show, because the finance director said it was confusing, I didn't show adding in the carry forward amounts, just to make it easier. But right now the city's using the land acquisition here. We're going to go and purchase. So we'll purchase 104 North Park Place, which we just tore down. And then we're purchasing 114 North Riverside. And we are going to close on that this month. And then we are going to purchase, once the budget gets adopted, we'll then purchase 123 East Park.
And that'll come out of 26?
Yeah.
Okay. Good report there.
Thank and you. Then we wanted to look at the department budget. So I didn't have enough time, but next year I will bring this earlier. That way you guys will have more insights and provide feedback. I kept it mostly the same. There is a minor reduction that I did from year to year, and that was mostly having to do with going to conferences. I'm not going to be going to any conferences. I don't have time. So save the taxpayers a little bit of money there.
Well, okay, my question is, I understand your reasoning, but you're wearing 2-3 hats, and should we hire an economic development person, I mean, a dedicated person in, you know, later 25, 26, it'd be good if those funds were there. I mean, just because the funds are in the budget does not mean they have to be spent, but they're there and available. So has this already been passed?
No.
No?
So you recommend raising it back up?
I recommend keeping it because somebody new is going to need that conference. Or may benefit from that conference, and here you're taking that opportunity away from them just because of your personal inability to attend due to all of your jobs. So I think a dedicated economic development person would...
I think there's enough work. I've personally, in my professional career, never gotten to go to a conference. So I don't know. I think it's... I understand where you're coming from.
Well, the other component is, could you assign one of us to go? Now, that's a double dip, and we're not getting paid, but as long as the expenses are covered, I'm sure everybody would be willing to, if it's interesting.
Well, and, okay, what conference are we talking about exactly?
The Economic Development Council Conference.
And it's held where? And it's for the state?
Yeah, this is the Florida Economic.
See, I see that as a golden opportunity to network with other economic development directors from across the state.
Agreed.
I mean, I just...
There isn't any huge nugget that you take from conferences except relationships, team building, you know, the opportunity to reach out to somebody that you've met, at least, unless it's some kind of significant workshop, but usually conferences are kind of sharing ideas and lots.
I think personally professional development is very important, especially yes. within your particular industry and work. So I would agree that we should perhaps leave that in the budget.
Do we need a motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
One other question. Any statistics on out of the $72,000 from last budget, how much was consumed or spent?
Not very much.
So... what we're talking about is minute because it's not being spent.
Well, a lot of it is spent.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of like the luncheons and stuff, but.
Well okay, we're going to have to nitpick it then because if you go through it, Team Volusia, that $30,000 is spent.
Correct.
Constant Contact, that $1,000 is spent. The monthly luncheons, $500, gone. Business After Hours, gone. Volusia County annual meeting, spent. Postage? No, I don't know about postage. We don't use postage anymore. So, okay, you have $1,000 saved there. But we're going to, okay, so we have $1,000 saved. All right. Printing and binding, $1,500. You haven't spent any, but in the past, that has been spent. Copier paper, here again, $1,000. But here again, that is spent because, say, one of us is going out and going to a job fair or this or that. In the past, Samantha would print out color printers, color copies for us to go and distribute. So you can argue that that's not spent, but then if you're going to broadcast the message, printing costs money, and it saved me, as a board member, from taking it out of my pocket when Samantha provided that service. Moving on, Southeast Volusia Chamber of Chamber of Commerce sponsorship, that's $6,000. That's spent. SEVMTC promotional money, every penny is spent. Miscellaneous promotion.
Don't know, right?
Well, here again, this is where Samantha in the past would have extra funds that if we needed it for, I don't know, the Princess Ball or whatever, she had some discretionary money that we had not spent that she could, you know, use. The CRA annual report advertisement, did you do that? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's $300 spent. Office supplies is $100. Operating supplies, I don't know about that $2,500.
What is that used for?
That is for, that's going to be for whoever comes in, whoever gets hired.
And whatever they need. Okay, uniforms, those were typically for board shirts, you know, which none of us wear.
I don't remember ever getting one.
Really? In all the years? I have several in my closet.
I have several shirts, so I'm good. Yeah, not this one.
Okay, the FRA membership dues for the CRA, you spend that?
Yeah, I think we have that this year.
Okay, and the DEO, special district reporting? Yep. Mm-hmm. Florida Economic Development Council membership? We're not giving that up.
So the services are being applied is what you're saying.
Yes.
Are we spending these dollars on those services, or is there something different to say that?
Yeah, we're spending those dollars. So I think my reference was to Bliss's point, yeah, we spent a lot of this money. We didn't spend in the grand budget for economic development. We didn't spend a lot because the salary is the majority of it. So, I mean, yes.
But these expenses, when we say not a lot of it spent, 90, we just went through it, 95%
but
of
a lot of them
allocated
kind of automatic.
So thank you for that, Bliss.
Just checks are cut at the beginning of the year.
And
so outside of the economic development director salary, the majority of this particular budget is spent. So it seems like it was a worthy exercise to go through and make sure that we still have those monies allocated. So we were back at a motion to put back in
the conference.
Second.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
May I just mention something? I noticed between 25 and 26, the miscellaneous promotional went from 2,500 to 500. Is there any concern with that? If you said there was some discretionary spending, especially if there's a brand new person?
Well, here again, we already identified at least
1,500.
Okay. 1,500. You know, from postage and stuff, so I'm good with that.
Well, operational supplies, I'm assuming that's a computer and
yeah.
Is there a way to see the actual spent against these budgets?
To see what we actually spent? Yeah. I have we could print the encumbrances.
We've never ever gotten into that detail, but
I can
usually when you said budget is you know what you spent the last cycle to know if increased or decreased.
So it sounds like you're requesting or suggesting that when we look at a new budget, it isn't compared against a prior year budget, but it's compared against a prior year spend.
As well as perhaps the year-to-date annualized spend.
Yeah. That's how we used to do our budgets.
And you've got to factor in anticipated changes. Now, hiring a director is anticipated changes that would increase the budget.
Yes.
You know, sorry, I just, it makes sense to me.
It's good. So, okay, in the past, we are appointed, and we are an advisory board. So, therefore, we advise, and then the council, and with the direction of the finance director, approves and everything and has the last word. The more direction we can give at this point for our council, to help out our council, great. I'm not opposed to it at all. I was just explaining the history and the fact that, you know, in the past, we had somebody who was in the position longer than 18 months and had a lot of history, and so therefore they could explain line by line what we did with this extra money and this therefore. So hopefully we will have that position filled in the future and have more explanation as well.
And maybe that's the guidance. I would assume if we feel like there's more information, if we're comparing a new budget against a prior year spend or year-to-date spend, anticipated things coming out, which is basically how most businesses do that, that would be the recommendation. Instead of publishing last year's budget, publish a comparison to year-to-date spend.
Well, I vote for all the above. Yeah. I like the information. Okay, so we're back to, we have a motion.
Yep, I'll second.
We have a second. Roll call, please.
Can I get a recap on that motion?
Keep the conference dollars in the budget for the new economic development director.
Which would make it 72.7, right? Ryan?
Yes.
Right. Ms. Jamison?
Yes.
Ms. Cruz?
Yes.
Mr. Inman?
Yes.
Ms. Power?
Yes.
Mr. London?
Yes.
Mr. Champion?
Thank you. Two over here. All right, moving on, more discussion and review of the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. Because we have the regional Southeast Volusia Chamber Summit coming up October 23rd, which I urge everybody to put on their calendar and plan to attend, Advent Health is sponsoring. I would like us to take a look at SED's 2025, if you pull that up, and then I don't know if everybody brought their regional economic, and Joshua, I apologize, you probably don't have one. I don't know if Ryan has extras. But the regional economic development strategy, because I would like to go ahead and get I'd like to get a motion of recommendation for this summit so that we are ahead of it and be able to make a motion of recommendation to the council so that come time for the summit, they are actually prepared and ready to make a decision and actually, you know, maybe get something accomplished at the summit. Fingers crossed. Okay, that's the objectives. I was looking for your 2025.
Oh, you want me to actually pull up the actual sets?
Yes, 2025. Also, last time we had discussed, this is where minutes would have been handy too. We discussed the River to Sea TPO, and our cities, you'll have to go on down. A lot of your red.
Where do you want me to start, please?
Where you had added in all these roads that you wanted to, right there.
Right here.
Okay. So for the Chamber Summit coming up in October, they're going to focus on two main issues: stormwater and flood protection. And it's a shame we aren't going to have our stormwater and flood protection
study
analysis back yet, but in preparation, we're going to be having that regional conversation and hopefully identifying sources of funds and that sort of thing so we can work together as a region. But the other thing is going to be roads and connectors. So with that, I wanted to pause and ask you, Christine, if there's anything coming up that you know of here, and Ryan, anything you know coming up on our in the motion for our road connectors. I mean, that's in the works, not a plan, in the works, on the list.
Coming up for approval for the city council, you mean?
No, for the CRA, because we would have already advanced it past the council to the CRA.
CRA.
I mean, excuse me, to the river to CTPO.
Yeah, so I mean, there are things on the long-range plan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just in the 2045 long-range plan.
Okay.
Whatever. So,
nothing's imminent. Okay.
I mean, there's a something on bike ped that moved up the priority list.
Well, I think isn't the old mission designed for, is that at 90% plan set?
Okay, that one is only for safety.
Yeah.
It's nothing else. So that is going to come up at the summit. And because it is a regional connector, and I think we discussed last time, it's already improved at the north end. It's already improved at the south end. Improved.
The discussion was, do we do something in the middle versus making it work out? And I think that was our discussion.
Yes. So I was hoping we could get a recommendation today that we would recommend to the city council have a resolution to support the regional effort. I went ahead and wrote it out. To have pass a resolution to support the regional effort for the widening and stormwater improvements of Old Mission Road from Josephine to Park Avenue as the only other north-south connector between State Road 44 and 442 other than I-95 and US 1. And this would be led by the county, supported by the cities. So with that, just a little more discussion there. That would encompass not only the safety, because that's what is on the River to Sea TPO 4, is safety funds. It's been on this since I've been around. And I was on the River to Sea TPO CAC for years ago. And they robbed the funds and gave them to Turnbull Bay Bridge. And that was just for guardrails. So you were going to say something?
Yeah, it's Lucia Flagler. It's not the River Sea anymore.
They changed it again?
Yes, because Flagler, portion of Flagler, has added in.
Okay. So anyway, they keep robbing the funds. Nothing ever happens for this portion. It is dangerous. And I think we also discussed last time that trucks are using Glencoe Road, which is a substandard two-lane residential road, as a shortcut rather than going down 44 and Old Mission. So we have the possibility of having the safety funds, which we know those are there, using stormwater and flood protection money, because that is an issue in that whole area. It flows north to the Turnbull Bay, and then the possibility of getting the job growth grant. So there is other possible funding there. But right now, also a note, there is support for this to be considered on the county council, which if we were to get a resolution to support it and it passes the regional vote in October, we could actually move this project forward. you know, if we move the steps.
So what are our steps here today? Is to make a recommendation that
the city council
prioritize.
The city council pass a resolution to support the regional effort for the widening of the storm widening of Old Mission Road and the stormwater improvements of Old Mission Road from Josephine to Park Avenue as the only other north-south connector between State Road 44, State Road 442, other than I-95 and US 1, which would be led by the county and supported by the cities. It's a long one, but it lays it out.
That's the last section of the road to be upgraded, correct?
Correct.
So I do just want to bring up Williamson.
Williamson is going to start here in Edgewater and go north, and that northern part is 5-10 years away.
Right.
So this is something that, here again, we can throw, and then you look at this list, which we discussed. Some of these have never even been discussed ever. This is a lot of Ryan's creative thinking here and projection, and I'm saying, let's take the low-hanging fruit. We've got the north end improved. We've got the south end improved. But nobody ever wants to fix the middle because we keep going like a ping pong ball to everything else. Well, I'm just asking for one section to be finished because this is also the gateway, a connector, a major connector between State Road 44 and 442, into the largest contiguous industrial corridor in the county, which is Park Avenue. And we have, to support this even further, 1 million square feet of industrial space coming out of the ground in Parktown. We have the new public works off of Dale Street, and the first 300,000 square feet of industrial space has already been permitted in Parktown. This is gonna mean more trucks, it's gonna mean more jobs. It just blows my mind that this has been such a struggle to get this one section of road finished, and it will be a huge asset. It'll also help the kids go from Florida Shores to school up there on 10th Street, which is also Josephine. Okay. I can't make the motion. I've suggested it.
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I will second that motion. I think having that corridor to support the industrial development and park and all the goals to try and attract jobs is a priority. I know it's an expensive section because of all the water. We talked about that last time. It was much more expensive than other things, but it's never going to get cheaper. So getting that done and creating that pathway, because it is dangerous, and you do have trucks going on Glencoe. They are taking those shortcuts to get around.
Yeah. The important part of it is the regional aspect, which hopefully the council will understand that regional is an issue. And we have water here, but it has to go somewhere. So,
is the water component almost as much as the road component?
Yeah, probably. I don't have those numbers.
I don't know if anybody's even done those numbers. I know Ryan.
Well, it'll be coming out in the study, will it not?
Yeah.
It'll be coming out in the study.
Yeah, it's in the design.
So I know, Ryan, you have a lot of things on your plate, but ultimately, you know, projects like this or motions like this, you know, kind of fall into your bailiwick to support. And based on some of the discussion that Bliss had with economic development, Parktown, the renting trucks, does it make sense to you, even though it could be very expensive, but to do that section of road and complete it?
Yeah, I think the city's just really limited. So
So, you know, our road impact fees, the city doesn't own any collector roadways. Our first real arterial collector roadway will be the extension of Indian River Boulevard. And so what does that mean? Our impact fees are very low, multimodal. Majority of it goes to the county because they have to maintain the arterial collectors. And so, yeah, getting that prioritized is really important.
But I think it's something we have to fight for, right? We have to
keep
pushing. Don't allow that to fall back on the wayside.
Otherwise, it'll be 2045.
Yes, I know.
Well, and I think getting the traffic, because the intersection at Old Mission and 44 is failing, and it's going to continue to fail. Getting the traffic south on Old Mission to get onto the interstate will be really important to get people. And people will naturally, when there's four or five trying to make that left-hand turn, four or five semis, people will start just taking south and get on the interstate to get up.
Those of us from Edgewater that are going to Home Depot go all the way to 95 and get off on 44 and come south versus trying to make that connector.
Okay, and I can also tell you that the city of New Smyrna Beach is looking at that intersection of 44 and Mission. So, I mean, they realize it needs fixing and all that stuff. And with that, also, you're getting the new Pioneer Trail exchange right there, which is going to bring more traffic to the whole
44
area.
And Old Mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why staff had proposed another collector kind of running north-south, which would be Glencoe, to pull Glencoe all the way down.
And with that, we have an S-turn, which would have to be straightened out. You have to have all the engineering studies, all the this, all the studies, all the that, and Old Mission Road's already improved on both ends. We just have to fix the middle. Can we call for a vote?
Yes. There's a passion plea right here.
Yeah. Ms. Jamison?
Yes.
Ms. Cruz?
Yes.
Mr. Inman?
Yes.
Ms. Power?
Yes.
Mr. Champion?
Yes.
Mr. London?
Yes.
Thank you.
When the new hospital goes out, it would be nice to have some of those roadways.
I understand it doesn't cross the
line. Absolutely.
Correct. And we have the support. And, so if we support it, it sends a message to the other economic boards. They can say Edgewater. They're leading. I mean, they're leading, and they are supporting it. And then it helps the council to support it, because we already have some people at the city council. I mean, the county council that are interested in supporting it. So it's not going to happen without a push, and not without support.
This will have to go to the council to vote on.
County council.
Correct. So it's a regional effort.
No, I understand what you're doing. I'm just trying to clarify it in my mind.
Yeah, so
how it gets passed.
So at the summit, if they take action, they may or may not, but it could at least be in the works, because they're going to focus on this, and then it'll go to the county council. But you have to have a plan. You have to have strategy in order to get it there. So this is the first step.
So Bliss said there's two things at the summit that they're concentrating on. One is the water, stormwater runoff, and then connector roads, and this project kind of fits both. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All sense in the world.
Yeah. Especially when you think about the industrial that serves jobs for this whole Southeast Volusia. Great. Thank you, Bliss.
Thank you. Thank you all. With that,
do we need to finish that motion? I know we took a vote. Any discussion, nays? Everybody approved. Do we have to finish that?
We did it. We finished it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion items. Does our department director have any comments, reports?
No, we are getting really getting Deering Park in, so likely October planning and zoning, and then November council, the first batch out there. It'll be a little over a year in review, so we'll probably be bringing those first four subdivisions over.
There's been discussion about the moratoriums on news and some other avenues. Has it changed anything here? Has our moratorium stopped? Or are we, I mean, it's 3 months.
No, there was, I mean, it was, so city staff had, based upon the letter that we had received and the opinion from the attorney, city staff had declared the moratorium null and void, which bought the council time. The council did not repeal the moratorium like SB 180 required, but because their logic was because staff had declared it null and void and were not enforcing it, that it didn't need to be repealed. So, yes, it is an active ordinance, but it's not being enforced.
Well, from a public perception and understanding,
it's very confusing.
It's contradictory, and it's chaos and mess, and people don't understand it. There's a lot of people upset, thinking that the city is moving forward with the moratorium, and it's not unless you speak to your, you know, somebody like yourself or a city council person, and they say no.
It was stated at the meeting that the staff wasn't following the moratorium, and that's what the mayor said. It's a new point.
I still say it's contradictory and messy.
You know, we have
as a public
we
perception.
Have. I agree with that. There's, you know, whether Orange County, you know, investigating, I know it's financial, but we're not closing loops on things. And I think that making no vote or saying we're not enforcing it is a decision, and it's not.
Well, you're breaking your own ordinance.
Yes. I think that this world today needs to follow guidelines and judgments and law and make those decisions and decide that it is not valid and we were asked not, or, and I only mentioned that because I hadn't heard anything. I heard exactly what you said, that it was kind of just going to let it die its 3 month death or 4 month left.
And the other part of that is they voted to join the lawsuit, correct?
So I believe that'll be on this, that's on the next city council agenda.
And is that going to cost us money, the city money?
It's a $10,000 to join with a $5,000 fee if there's an appeal.
Which attorney is leading that?
Something Cole.
Jamie Cole.
Oh, there it is. H. I was looking for moratorium.
So how many lawsuits does the city have going now?
At least three, probably for in land development wise.
Anyway, just didn't mean to segue. I just had, that was kind of a, didn't know what was going on with it because I hadn't seen any final decisions.
Yeah, so we're issuing permits. Everything is as the council kind of had said, business as usual.
Shouldn't they make that vote though? Shouldn't they close that loop so it's documented?
I mean, it's,
they
made the decision, so it's not staff's.
I hope somebody actually watches this because it's politically advantageous to them to make a show of it.
Who's them?
In all caps.
Council.
Okay.
Council. In all caps. We're not going to repeal this. And
that's kind of my thought, is that,
yes,
you know,
yes,
make decisions because it's the right thing to do. We don't, not, anyway,
yes,
not worth further discussion, but I agree with you, Christine.
Smoke and mirrors.
We stand up and we do what's right.
Yes.
The law says this is not, and you've been asked by the law to do something different, and we should.
want to do that. It's all about re-election or whatever. I have something to bring up that I don't
know. Wait a second. Are you done with your report? Okay, thank you.
I don't know if anybody has been really paying attention to the property tax, to abolishing the property tax in the state of Florida. Has anybody been paying attention to that? Is the city paying attention to that in any way?
That's the state portion, correct? That doesn't abolish all property tax, correct?
Yeah, I think they're looking at abolishing all property tax. And I think the issue with it is, so for one, you know, yes, they have it in Europe, and that is successful. But a lot of that is because it coincides with concentration of power up in Tallahassee, because all European nations are kind of got that centralized planning at the top down, very top down heavy, and you know, because, and the reason it would have to become that way is because if it's a consumer tax on, not say for example, if it's not on groceries and utilities, then because if each city had its own little VAT on top of the state's VAT, well, the people that are winners are going to be the people who have big box. So now it's going to be, now it'll be a race for the big box stores. That'll be the next chase of chasing down, because if you're taxing everything you purchase, right, then you want to have as many big box retails that's not groceries.
So that puts the little person out of business.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's definitely got a lot of problems that I don't think they're going to just figure out in the next 6 months how to redo really the financial system of the state of Florida.
Right.
Yeah. Just doesn't seem feasible.
I'm watching it is it puts more centralized power, and nobody's talking about how to make up the difference in the revenue.
Yes, and I guess that's
that is
my point.
Scary.
It is scary.
As a citizen.
Yes, because I will tell you that if it went to a constitutional amendment and it needs 60% to pass, you know that the city of Edgewater would vote 80% to repeal it. Because most people are like, oh, I wouldn't have to pay property tax. And they would wonder, like,
what happened to my services?
It really begs the question. It's like, yeah, except... Well, but what if there's now a 20% tax anytime you buy a car, right? It's like,
right.
You've just... You
know, revenue has to be replaced somewhere.
Yeah. Will there be a state income tax?
Yes.
To replace it.
And it's a major shift that they're not talking about.
Yes.
We're going to cover.
Correct.
Okay. Anyway, I just thought I would bring that up because I feel that that is, it directly impacts economic development in cities, the state.
So, Brian, back to your... report. Did you have any new projects come in that to be submitted for a permit?
No.
No? Okay.
No, nothing new. Or at least. No, we're just still working through kind of the large workload.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions or comments on Ryan's report? Okay. I'd like to move on to board reports. I'm looking at you.
I did mine already. Okay. Sorry.
Anaris?
School is back in session. We are bursting at the seams at the college. Very excited about that. I don't want to take away from Brad's thunder, but just a reminder about the Innovation Hub. Mm-hmm. That's opening on what? 16th? 15th. 15th at 4:30 to 7. So I'll be there. Very excited about that. Talk to Weems. Be there as well, so hopefully you guys can check it out. I think you have to RSVP, if I'm not mistaken. So
you can show up, but ideally RSVP so we can understand how many people are.
So does this mean that the New Smyrna Beach, Edgewater, Daytona State campus is busting at the seams?
Yes.
Oh,
that's awesome.
So
that
I mean,
fantastic.
Long story short, it was just a matter of looking at the scheduling. There were a lot of conflicts that wouldn't allow students to take a full-time schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so just working through that and arranging courses in a way that allows them to hit everything that they need. The nursing program, as you guys know, is expanding. So offering the courses that they need for that is crucial. So scheduling for that is crucial as well. So.
Well, Anaris, I want to thank you for your leadership and determination there, because I've been here long enough. I know that it was you.
Your words. That don't know.
Yeah. That you are the reason that finally got resolved.
You're
thank
the champion
you.
Of trying to make so, this campus valuable.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Because that helps our community tremendously. It does.
And we certainly, on behalf of Avon Health, appreciate all that the school is doing. And certainly, I've heard a lot of feedback from our staff and individuals who are attending as well. So
the nursing program that you guys help sponsor, good.
Yeah,
that's a real partnership, isn't it?
Yeah.
Having
mm-hmm.
a local
beautiful.
School and our largest employer in the city. So that's awesome.
That is a milestone for the college down
yeah,
here.
It actually is a milestone. That campus has been.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
We were always concerned it was going to get absorbed.
Not while I'm here.
Good.
Job
yeah.
security.
There you go. Well, and much needed. Sweet.
Yes.
Well, I applaud your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. London.
I'd like to find more information about the summit.
Okay, well, it hasn't really come out yet.
If you can forward it when it does.
Yes, be happy to.
That other report you were looking at or viewing.
The
I've never seen that in any of my
the
research,
regional?
So I'm not sure what it is.
Will you make sure everybody, because Mr. Champion needs one as well.
What do we need?
Well, one, they need a binder.
The economic strategic plan. This one you
they need
about?
The regional plan. Yeah. They need the SEDS.
Oh, the regional plan.
Yes.
I didn't recognize it or anything I've found or saw or looked at.
Okay. We will make sure you get those.
Ryan, do you have a copy of the binder to give to him?
Do I have a copy of the binder?
Do you know the binder that he needs, I guess is what I'm asking.
No, I was going to make a binder.
This lovely one.
That's why I asked. Because
yeah.
Ryan might need the template for the binder to give to him.
Okay.
I'll go look in the
folder. I'll let you borrow mine.
See, there's printing costs.
Printing costs, exactly.
And then I did take a tour of Deering Park after our last meeting, and was pretty surprised how much activity is actually going on out there. Ernie did a great job, spent 2 hours with me, went
That's
all
awesome.
Around.
Well, thank you for taking the time to do that. I really appreciate it, and I hope you will share the news of what you have learned throughout the community.
Every time I get a chance to counter some of the stuff that is being said, I do. I mean, I can't prove it, but they're claiming they're modeling after Babcock Ranch, and Babcock Ranch is a success, even out of the news. So if that's all true, this should be a success. I would think we'd be looking to mimic some of the requirements in our codes, but SB180 can stop that, so I don't know what we can do.
Well, we can just make notes for the future, but thank you very much. Mr. Champion, I know this is your first time with us, and I was remiss in not welcoming you from the beginning of the meeting, but we are delighted to have you with us to carry on the Avent Health tradition. One of the largest employers in our area, and healthcare is so important to each member of society. We really thank you for being in our community and look forward to Advent Health's continued growth.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and my apologies. I've had a little bit of a rough start in getting here, but glad to be here today, and thank you for sharing the cadence of the meeting. So I look forward to every Wednesday, every first Wednesday.
First Wednesday of the month. With the exception of July.
Yes. And maybe January.
And maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
Depending on where it falls. But it would be nice, I think. We could probably put an invite together and just send out to add it to calendar. I usually do it at the beginning of the year. Unfortunately, with the first Wednesday, you kind of have to.
Ms. Cruz,
nothing
do you have
else?
A report? No? Okay, I do. So, I attended the Q breakfast. These breakfasts are wonderful. And since Lou is here, Lou, do you want to walk us through?
You can go ahead and do it.
Okay. Well, please feel free to jump in, if you would. So I brought everybody a breakfast.
A copy.
Thank you. It is full of information. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but on page 5, we're all about jobs and everything and how do we create more jobs and have a community that supports jobs. So I wanted to bring your attention to number 5 and just look at the numbers for 2023. Look at the growth, you know. Carpenters grew 10.4%, and then look at the projected numbers of jobs needed by 2031.
Almost doubling everything, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's remarkable. That's carpenter, electrician, HVAC, and plumber. So that ought to mean lots of students for Daytona State College. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then also with that, anybody who has students at Volusia County Schools, there are many programs in which you can dual enroll to get those certifications, which gives you an extra advantage, you know, time-wise. Also, Daytona dual enrollment, and I say this all the time just to educate people, dual enrollment is where students can take these certification courses for free, as opposed to waiting until they're 18 when they have to pay for them themselves.
Just to add a little bit real quick. So the workforce and education community of the Southeast Volusia Chamber of Commerce, we have these talent tours, and we take middle school and high school students in the Southeast Volusia area to kind of shadow the cities on the back end. And so on September 30th, we're actually taking a group of middle school and high schoolers. We do have Burns that participates as well. We're taking them to the ATC to see a lot of these programs. So they'll be exposed to HVAC, plumbing, construction, welding, CNC machining, paramedics, everything that's at the ATC. So that'll be on September 30th. And so we have these tours throughout the year, and we do take them to different industries as well. So yes, it's definitely a way to expose our educational pipeline to some opportunities.
Okay, and flipping over to page 6, you can see the other trades that are in need. Industrial machinery mechanic, makes sense. Machinist, tool and die makers, and then welders. So everything is just increasing. Then if you look at page 7, it's just more reiteration of that, but this is talking about completions, total certifications. So that is good. But to meet the 2031 need, we need to be turning out a whole lot more than we're turning out.
Turning out more skilled labor, correct?
Correct.
Keep students in the area. Even much more important for Daytona State as you participate, but getting kids engaged.
Yes.
We see these numbers of average wage and so forth, but those are good numbers. I mean, those are good salaries that you can grow with businesses.
Well, Anaris, with what you just mentioned, those tours, do you all have a copy of the flyers regarding our City of Edgewater's scholarship?
I know we brought it to the board. I don't know if we finalized it, but ironically, as we were sitting here, I made a note to bring that back up November-ish, because I know that we talked about pushing that earlier next year. And so everything should be finalized, I would hope, before we leave in December.
We did not. Everybody liked it, but I don't think I've sent anything to Katie or anybody on
the
stamp for it.
I'd like to bring that back in November and have a final vote so that we can get these in his hands. You know, each student that has one, it's more publicity of our scholarship fund and hopefully we will have somebody apply for, you know.
Do you need it by October so that it's printed and ready to go for November?
Either is fine. Either is fine. Because we can make that happen. Okay. That's easy.
So if you would add that to the agenda and then send it out in everybody's packet.
Scholarship flyer.
So one scholarship or multiple?
There are multiple scholarships. We have a scholarship committee on this board.
Okay.
We have a scholarship committee. Rebecca, would you like to fill him in on the scholarship committee?
So it's an application we usually raise through the Princess Ball and some business donations around $10,000 to $12,000. So we try and accommodate everybody that applies, as long as you meet the criteria for grades and volunteer work and you're going to an accredited school. The college portion, we also have a certification portion where students that wanted to take HVAC will also have a scholarship for that.
So Northwest Lineman College?
The scholarship is usually between $1,000 and $5,000.
So you can get anywhere from 12 to 4 people.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We had 12 this year, and I think 4 the first year we did it, but yes.
And we're targeting college courses and trade courses?
Yeah, we added trade about 3 years ago. We haven't been very successful in promoting it. That was the point for the flyer, was to try and hand those out for students that want a two-year HVAC certification, or you want to do, you know, something else, welding, that there is a scholarship to help pay for that also. It isn't just college. Most kids think about scholarships, think about college, not trade. So we're trying to push that. As Bliss says, we're going to need double these trades that we currently have, and that's going to be more important. So maybe, you know, something, I don't know, something with this and the amount of additional trade jobs and salaries. But
well, nationwide trade is a big problem.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Nationwide.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Rebecca, I like that thought you were just having over there, that maybe we could incorporate some of this information into our flyer.
Yeah.
I think it would help educate and carry more weight.
Looking at average job, mm-hmm. when you think about some of the trades, I don't think
maybe
we have
you
to
make
specific,
it,
but maybe some kind of graph, you know, by 2031, we need twice as many for, this is all of Volusia County, correct?
Yes.
So an average salary.
Lou, would you share those graphics with us for this purpose?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so then maybe instead of just a single page flyer, it could be front and back. With information. I think it's a great opportunity to educate the parents.
If you could get that to high school counselors,
yep.
Mm-hmm. you know, that would probably be a great outlet as well.
They don't have the time or inclination to help counsel students, unfortunately. It literally is your class schedule. That's all they have the time for. So we rely on the community to kind of get those things out and become part of events. You know, scholarships,
yeah.
you know, students looking to go to school, they're in the counselor's office looking up all the scholarships. Those students that are going to trade school or end up in trade school have no idea there's monies available for things like that, just like your nursing program. How long has it taken to get that, like, momentum going and know that you guys are reimbursing that certification? So that's a big deal, but
that's a good point.
It takes a while to get that out in the community.
I just saw something, I can't remember if it was Instagram, something came through that caught my eye, and it had wages for, you know, different jobs, trades jobs, you know, so it was another trying to push those forward into the 16, 17, 18-year-olds' hands. But, and the thing that caught my eye was because a diesel mechanic $29 an hour, 29 something, and my daughter just said that my niece, who is a junior in high school, I think, has said she's not going to college. She wants to be a diesel mechanic. And it's getting out there. Obviously, that message is starting to get out there because she probably saw the same Instagram post, and that was the highest paid one out of you know, the four things that came up. So I'm saying there is, there beyond the county's graphic, there's other graphics that maybe we could put in or include the information.
That's great. Will you just, if you can find it, will you send it to
yes.
yeah, Ryan and Katie? Because that would be great if we could bring that back in October.
So I think I can take some, what I'd still like to do is keep it one page, just because I think keeping kids' attention at 17.
I know, but if it's just one page front and back.
I understand, but there's a lot of pictures, maybe. I was thinking just, you know, an engineering degree, 4 years of school, I don't know how to craft it yet, but his, you know, entry level is 66,000. Diesel
right.
mechanic is making 66,000, and it's a 1 year certification. And
exactly.
You have scholarships, so I have right. to think on that.
Yeah, so you get to it quicker. Overall costs, you know, a quarter of the amount.
Oh, less than a quarter.
Less than a quarter.
I mean, it's the cost of your right. books to go to college for yeah. the certifications. It's incredibly advantageous. And that used to be common when we were in school. You
right.
literally sat with a counselor and said, your grades are kind of, we recommend you go to construction school. And but it wasn't considered a bad thing. Right.
No, it
was a good
thing. It was a good thing.
Actually, some of those kids make more money than
I know.
We actually have certain courses in high school.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, industrial, sure. Yeah,
and then if you'll add nursing to it, because across the country, nursing is the number one job needed.
Has been for 50 years, Ms.
Yes.
yep.
Unfortunately, and my guess is the nearest I've come to understanding it is it came down to the educational portion of it, having enough teachers teach. And I think I know that Advent Health is doing a great job in creating value for nurses. It used to be just kind of glorified housekeepers to speak, but there is huge value in that profession, and so we need to continue to revere and celebrate because it's an important part of the community. Anyway,
okay.
All right, so
thank
nursing
you.
Flyer update, we're going
to
add.
All right, one more thing I have to report on. I attended the 7th Space Coast Symposium down at the port, and Rob Long, the CEO of Space Florida, was one of the keynote speakers. Another gentleman was the president and CEO of the International Space University. And then the third keynote speaker was the gentleman from Teledyne. Okay, so all of them, the theme was space commerce and everything is growing. It's growing in our area. And then the rest of them talked about educating our workforce, the need for engineers, et cetera, et cetera, and the projected numbers they need by 2030, 2031. So all of this is, you know, being supportive right and left, that 2030 is the need. They were talking about Space Florida even has a Space Academy curriculum so that different schools or any school, your school, Volusia County School District could partner with Space Florida and actually offer this to their students. And different school districts throughout the state are partnering with Space Florida's Space Academy, or Space Florida's Space Academy, and it was fantastic. And then, Teledyne as well. So it's Volusia County was reporting it at the Q breakfast. Space Florida's talking about it. I mean, it's here. Space is here.
Didn't the rocket just go up?
Pardon me?
The rockets
go up all the time.
Like every 3 days.
Just now, just at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, time for the meeting.
And Lou, do you know the next date for the next Q breakfast?
November.
Okay. We'll look for November. All right. Well, that's the last of my reports, I think.
Yep.
I'll stick with that. I thank everybody for coming. I thank you for your input, your ideas. I thank you for all that you do throughout the community. And with that, a motion to adjourn.
Second.
So moved.
All righty. See you in October.